Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
In this week's episode, we talk about our most un-Texan attribute, the basketball season coming to a close in the Elite Eight, a football spring practice in Midland, and baseball getting back on track with a 4-game series against Northeastern. The 23 Personnel Podcast starts right now. You are listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast, where food and sports clash at the goal line. Here are your hosts, Spencer and Michael. All right, everybody, welcome back for yet another week of the 23 Personnel Podcast. I'm your host, Spencer, joined by Michael.
Hello, everybody.
We are unfortunately wrapping up the basketball season, and this week, season came to an end in the Elite Eight against Villanova. Kind of bittersweet there, best ever season, but wished it could have kept on going. We're also going to get into football. There was a spring practice this week in Midland. Also some kind of breaking news or big news from the program. That night, some post-game activities got a little out of hand.
Yeah.
We're going to obviously talk about baseball, as I think that's the other main sport that we're going to be talking about going forward, with football and spring practice being going with a baseball team that's already halfway through their season, or will be after this weekend series. And of course, we've got some great questions from you guys, and close it out with things that we learned. But before we do all that, Michael had this, I'm not sure where he got it from, but he wanted, I don't know, Michael, why don't you set it up? And
sure, yeah. I saw a tweet that was going around a little bit last week, and that's why I can't remember who tweeted it. I'm really good about that. I'm good about having sources but not remembering what they were. And
you'd be an excellent journalist.
Yeah.
You would just say, sources say.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be because I was making it up. It would be just because I was lazy or bad at my job. Like, I know someone told me that, but I can't remember who, so sources say. Sources with knowledge of the situation. But this tweet was basically, it was the gist of, you know, name the most un-Texan thing about you. And it got me to thinking, and I saw a couple other people I follow do it. And the first thing I thought of was one that someone else had put. And it's that I'm really not a fan of sweet tea. And it's not that I don't like it, I guess, but I prefer unsweet tea, which I know is, it's kind of weird, but according to my wife, who grew up in Kentucky, she's seen it in Texas a lot more than she thought she would. And unsweet tea here, she doesn't think is as uncommon. And maybe that's because sweet tea is just that common in the bluegrass state. But either way, whenever I order tea, I prefer unsweet. If it's, every now and then I'll do like half and half, but that's really it. I'm not about drinking sugar brown water. It's just not appealing to me.
So do you not drink soda?
Not really. No, I probably about 2012 or so, I started giving it up, and then I'd treat myself to one a month or something like that.
Whoa.
Or I'd go to a movie and I'd get one, and you know, just kind of that sort of thing. But no, I don't drink any. I drink those little, I drink flavored carbonated waters now. Those kind of kill that craving for me. But every now and then, you've just got to have a Coke or a Pepsi or a Dr. Pepper, whatever.
Pepsi better be like last on your list. Like, you can't get a Coke, you can't get a Dr. Pepper. Like, but I need carbonated soda.
I really.
You have to settle for Pepsi.
No, I enjoy Pepsi. It's
there.
I don't know if it's my favorite.
Un-Texan, most un-Texan thing about you, number two.
We found another one. Yeah, we Bitcoin mined another one. Yeah, Pepsi's good. I like Pepsi. Oh, here's something really blasphemous. Speaking of, and I think I've told you this, or maybe in our Slack chat we've talked about it, but I used to make at a fountain drink place, I would make what I called a Dr. Pepsi, which of course is not, you know what's coming, but I would take a Dr. Pepper. No, I can't even remember what I did, but it was like I would fill it about 4/5 of the way with one, and then the rest of it is almost like a splash of the other, and I was so proud of it, and it was so delicious, but I can't even remember what it was. It was so long ago, and that's going to be a terrible take, so that's not a very Texan thing of me to probably put Pepsi almost, I don't know, I like all three. I like Coke. There's times I really want a Coke, there's times I really want a Pepsi, and there's times I really want a Dr. Pepper. I go back and forth.
Yeah, so if I'm drinking soda, which I mean I'm not as healthy as Michael was, just having one a month. I've got one tonight from dinner tonight from the greatest orange and white yellow. Oh my gosh, no yellow, orange and white restaurant on the planet.
Looks good.
It should be a corporate sponsor of Texas Tech Athletics.
Yeah,
go ahead and get a little drink.
Was it good?
it was so good. If I'm drinking soda, it's Dr. Pepper. If for some reason I'm like just burned out, I need a break, I will go to a Coke. The other soda that I really like that you can't really find here is Mr. Pibb.
Oh, now that's kind of blasphemous. That's worse. I think that's worse than liking Pepsi. It's liking Mr. Pibb and then claiming your love for Dr. Pepper in the same. Like three sentences.
Like I said, it's one, you can't get it here, so it's not like I'm drinking it all the time.
There's a reason you can't get it here.
It wouldn't supplant Dr. Pepper. It's like when I go for a Coke, it's because I want something different than Dr. Pepper because I've had too much or I'm not tasting it. Right. I don't know. I probably drink way too much soda. I'm okay with that because
it's delicious, man. I really do like it. It took a long time to get to this point where I really don't drink it that much, and even when I do, I'll get the diet ones. Like I'll get Coke Zero quite a bit if I'm gonna indulge sometimes.
The only way I justify drinking as much soda is I've tried to switch over to the diet sodas. I know the sugar replacement is supposedly not very good for you.
I'll probably
get cancer because of my taste for Dr. Pepper and not being able to give it up. But the other thing. And you're talking about sweet tea. I don't drink tea anymore. When I did, it was only sweet tea. I can't imagine drinking unsweet tea.
It just sounds disgusting. No, it's so good, and it's zero calories, and it's got caffeine, and you know you've got to be careful where you get it. If you go to a place, you know, Whataburger does it right. They actually brew their tea. Of course they do because they're Whataburger. They do lots of things right. But if you go to one of those places that has the tea in the dispenser, you might as well just get water. You know, when we went to Max the other day, they brewed their own tea.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
and that's what I had. And then Subway and actually makes pretty good tea.
I was going to say, we gave our report back from when our visit to Max, right?
Right, and the tea wasn't included, but the tea was good.
I didn't know if we needed to drag that out and rehash that or not.
Oh, no, yeah, we gave full detailed reporting. That's right. What you get from the 23 Personnel podcast is full detailed reporting.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Whataburger, that great orange and white restaurant I referred to, and that they should be a corporate sponsor, at least of the basketball program, let's go ahead and talk about the end of the season, or wrapping up the 2017-2018 basketball season. Record-setting team finishing out in the Elite Eight versus probably the best team left in the tournament, Villanova. Before Texas Tech lost to Villanova, I had them winning the whole thing.
I think too.
With the craziness on the opposite side of the bracket, where you've got Loyola and Michigan coming through, I think Villanova should be favored to win going the rest of the way. I think, without getting too much into the specifics of the game, because there was a really big stretch of time when I was unhappy with how everything was going. I don't think any Texas Tech fan will say they were really satisfied with the first half. The second half, you saw the patented brand of Texas Tech basketball. They were grinding it out. They were really forcing Villanova into some really bad offensive looks because the Texas Tech defense was just unbelievable, forcing turnovers. The biggest thing was you couldn't get a rebound to save your life. I don't know what was going on. They didn't have the size or athleticism that you would think would have prevented you from doing that, but like, you were just dominated on the glass.
I have a slight theory on that, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but I did.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but here I go.
but here we go. I've got it pulled up just for anyone who wants to know. Villanova out-rebounded us 51-33.
So almost by 20.
Yeah, and that includes, on offensive rebounds alone, Villanova had 20 and we had 11. And the reason I think Villanova had so many was because they missed a lot of three-pointers. They were really, really off. And these guys were crashing the boards from beyond the arc. They were long rebounds. We couldn't get a body on everybody. I mean, there were times where we just didn't flat out block out. We didn't find anybody to block out. But a lot of those shots, it seemed like they were rebounded, 12, 15 away from the basket. And I feel like that might have contributed to it, but it was strange to see it so lopsided. Because Villanova was... They missed 20 three-pointers. They were 4 for 24, and I think they're like a 40% team. So that was strange that they were missing so many. And it wasn't just defense, because they missed some open ones, several open ones.
Sure, but I was going to say, to your point, you actually, the way you phrased it when you first brought it up, that Villanova missed a bunch of threes, is what a lot of the broadcast team, whether it was the guys actually doing the game or the ridiculous group of guys they had back in the studio. Why Charles Barkley is paid for his opinion, I have no idea. That dude is dumber than a rock. I was telling the guys in my office, those commercials he does with Samuel L. Jackson and Spike Lee?
Oh, yeah, where they're fake laughing the whole time?
Or just any of them, where he's like, look at that, the armadillo, what does he call it, a rock squirrel or...
I don't know. I hadn't seen that one.
Anyways, those, like, the dumb things he says in those commercials, I'm not so sure that's not scripted and that it's not actually his opinion. Like, he is that dumb. Anyways, to my point, I think there was a lot of people that weren't giving the Texas Tech three-point defense the credit they deserved. Yes, Villanova missed some wide-open threes. I think a lot of them, there was a lot of pressure in their face. Whether it was like the Mo Bamba effect, where they were expecting some kind of defense from Texas Tech running out at them, where they were, altering the shot without actually blocking it, or if it was really just that great of defense, the being able to hold a team like Villanova that is really known for its three-point shooting to 4 of 24 is unbelievable. Like, you, like, going into that game, you, if you had said you're going to hold Villanova to 4 of 24, I'm like, you're winning that game.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
that's really how they beat you. because they also don't have like the greatest size inside where they're like, okay, we're not going to hit our shots. We're gonna go underneath and you know, pound it in the paint all day. Pound it in the paint. Wow. That's what she said, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Goodness. The other thing on the flip side, Texas Tech converting points in the paint, were it was atrocious. At one point, we were talking about it in Slack, and they immediately flashed a stat. Texas Tech was 6 of 21 on layups.
Yeah, we were commiserating together about just how many bunnies they'd missed, and they couldn't even – they'd missed the layup, and then they'd missed the rebound at the basket of the layup. It just – nothing was bouncing their way. That was frustrating.
At one point in the game, you know, you were down only by 5 points within mm-hmm. 3 or 4 minutes left in the game. And I think that's when the layup stat came out. We're like, man, if you had hit 50% of your layups, you're either tied or leading this game.
Yeah.
Because like I said, you were 6 of 21. If you had hit half of those, you would have added another 4 or 5 points. So you're like I said, you're even when we were down by 5. But in the end, it didn't work out. You ended up losing to a really great Villanova team. I'm not just saying that because you lost. This isn't a game that like you drop your head and like your shoulders are hanging down, because Villanova is a really great team, probably one that's going to go much further in the tournament. Like I said, I've got them winning the whole thing. Just an unbelievable season getting to the Elite Eight when you were picked to finish 7th in the conference. I think the only person that saw this coming was probably Dan.
Yeah. Well, and he even said that he probably didn't really fully see this until maybe January. I think that was when he kind of envisioned this type of scenario where we get deep into the tournament, not just make it, but actually get a few rounds into it. So it was great to see that. And like you said, Villanova was or is a good team. And one thing I noticed about them playing, even when Tech started out hot and the crowd was into it, well, I guess the crowd was into it. I was at Knicks, and the crowd at Knicks was definitely into it. I could never hear the TV.
The broadcast, like the crowd in the broadcast, was super heavy lean towards Villanova.
I thought so too, just because it is closer. I think it's around Philadelphia or like a suburb of Philly or something. I'm not even sure, but the way that the Villanova guys were just. They were treating it like just another day at the office. They weren't worried. None of them were showing any sort of panic or anything other than just focus. And then, yeah, next thing you know, they took the lead and that was it. They never trailed again. It just seemed like they decided after or they didn't decide anything. It's just things went Tech's way for the first 5 minutes, and then that was probably the last time. I was wondering if you were going to touch on that.
That's probably as far as I'm going to go into that. I mean, besides there was like a 6-7, 15-minute period where Villanova could do no wrong, and all Tech had to do was breathe on them, and they were called for a double technical or something stupid. Okay, so nobody got called for a double technical, but it seems like there were multiple times. There's one in my mind, I probably won't forget it. I can't remember Villanova's player's name. One of their big guys that was playing in the paint was defending a layup drive attempt from Keenan Evans. He absolutely hacked Keenan Evans on the arm. Not even like a question about it. As the Villanova player's backing up, he's got his hands up. He actually grabs on the net, which should be a goaltend. And then this player comes down with a rebound and steps out of bounds. And none of those things were called. Like, there wasn't a foul, there wasn't a goaltend, and Villanova got to keep the ball when they were out of bounds. It's like, all right, we're not going to win this game.
Yeah, that's the sequence. Like,
if that's going to be allowed to happen, we're not going to win this game.
Well, you know, and to your point, Villanova shot 35 free throws and Tech shot 18. So they doubled us up on free throw attempts.
The biggest part, I think at halftime they had shot like 24 of those. Or 20
yeah.
of them.
The second
and then
half
was a long
was
stretch
much,
in the second half.
Yeah.
Until we started fouling at the very, very end to try to slow the game down. And that's when Villanova shot all their second half free throws. It was the last minute or so of game time. And that I had to defend that tactic to a couple of friends and family members. Like, why are we fouling? I was like, one, it stops the clock. Two, it looks better after the fact if Villanova misses a free throw, and I don't think they missed a single free throw when we were intentionally fouling to slow the game down.
I don't know if they did either. It just, to me, it felt like they were, I think they were up by 10 at that point. And Beard had already used, Beard
was 8.
Well,
anyways,
what threw me off was that with a minute left, Beard called his last timeout with right after he called his second to last timeout, the possession before. And I thought, well, that's that. You know, why would you call your last timeout with a minute left if you're not just kind of throwing in the towel? But then we kept fouling at least once or twice more after that, and that was kind of annoying. You know, at that point, it just wasn't going to go our way. That, yeah, I'm not going to get too hung up on the free throw situation because they did improve it a little bit in the second half. I feel like Tech only had two or three fouls until those last three or four minutes.
That was what was brought up in the broadcast too. It was getting like 3 or 4 minutes left in the game, and Tech only had two fouls. Like, well, if you want to slow the game down, you just start fouling because you're not giving anything away.
They can't even get, they're not even going to get to the free throw line.
It's not like a 1-on-1 situation for like 5 more fouls. Go ahead and start fouling them.
Yeah, so that was kind of a weird turnaround, but I really think the game was lost with all the easy buckets that we missed and then just not getting the rebounds like we normally do.
Well, and then there's, yes, Texas Tech was being aggressive in the first half, and there were a lot of fouls that were correctly called. I don't know if it was like Tech was playing a little loose and they were too aggressive or what it was, but that they didn't help themselves with how aggressive they were, especially after seeing how the game was going to be called, that they didn't kind of adjust and back off it a little bit.
Right.
But so Villanova shot a lot of free throws in the first half, was able to build a little lead, and not just build the lead, but also kind of take the air out of the Texas Tech, just both sides of the floor, offense and defense. You weren't sure what you could do without fouling. So you became super timid on the flip side, trying not to foul rather than being cautious. So like there was a long stretch in the first half where it was just really ugly. Like you couldn't hit a shot. Now there was a span of game for both teams where it was like 3 or 4 minutes of game time where neither team hit a field goal or scoring points. No, sorry. Texas Tech wasn't scoring any field goals. Villanova was only scoring at the free throw. And this is in the first half, but like it was 3 or 4 minutes of game time where neither team hit a field goal. You're like, this is when Texas Tech needs to figure it out to come back into this game.
Yeah.
But that was also like, and then, like I said, in the midst of that like really weird part of the game where you couldn't figure out what to do without getting called for a foul. Anyways, enough about the refs, about the fouling. There was right there at the very end when I think it was Naeem Stevenson put up a three and he missed it. And Villanova got the rebound, and then you saw Chris Beard kind of wave off the defense. You're like, all right, that's it. Like it settled, like the reality that you're going to lose this game, that you're giving up, you're throwing in the towel, it sets in. You're just like, man, this sucks.
Yeah, it did.
And not like it sucks to lose a Villanova. Yes, losing sucks, but like this great season is ending. That sucks. And something I told Samantha a lot, like, you know, it's hard to accept that because any team playing meaningful basketball at this time of the year, every team except for one will end their season on a loss. You just hope it's not you, right? That you're the one team that doesn't do that. Because like I said, every team is going to end with a loss. It's always hard to accept. We saw it with Stephen F. Austin, Florida, and Purdue, how hurt and broken they were when they lost. You're just glad it wasn't you, and then it came to be you. I think the point that hit me the most, and I actually went back in the broadcast, recorded it on my phone and put it on Twitter, and it got retweeted, I don't know, maybe 100 times. I've got 100 plus likes on this one tweet. Was the when Chris Beard pulled out all of the starters and all the seniors, and like subbed him out, put all the bench guys in, and he huddled them all up on the sideline. You don't know what was said because the camera wasn't on that huddle for very long.
Zach Smith said what was said a little bit.
What was that?
It was something basically like, you know, thanks for sticking with me. Thanks for staying with me, for being part of the program. With him coming on, you know, I'm sure they could have transferred.
You're
going to
make me cry, Michael. No, because
Zach Smith said. He said they did ask him.
I mean, that was a really emotional time because you could see like all the seniors were huddled around, and he's trying to get Naeem Stevenson's attention and bring him in, and like the players are you know putting their arms around each other. Beard, like, he cracks a smile there, but you know it wasn't a smile like happiness. He was just like, I don't know. It was a point in the game that I won't forget. I mean, yes, I know I have video of it, so it's like, it's hard to like, well, I can go back and watch the video. But it was something that, like, I haven't seen that from a Texas Tech team where, like, they just kind of gather and are relishing their last time to play together. And it's something I don't think I will forget because this is like the first senior class that I don't know how to say it, but like really took Texas Tech to a different level. I mean, obviously it's Chris Beard's second season, so it's like, oh, it's only senior class. There's only one of two, right?
Right, right.
But I mean, you're talking about, you know, players like Keenan Evans, Zach Smith, Justin Gray, Naeem Stevenson, and the roles they played with this team for 2 or 4 years to this point. Unbelievable. Hard to imagine this team moving on without him. And like I said, it was just a really touching moment in the game when Chris Beard had pull all the players off and was huddling up and, like you said, thanking them for sticking with him and buying into his program.
Here's the exact quote that Zach Smith said, so get your tissue ready. He said, senior forward Zach Smith said, he just told us how much he appreciated the journey, how much he loved us, and appreciated us for sticking with him. So I'm kind of surprised he shared it, what he said, but probably just kind of got caught off guard. But that just says a lot on Beard and the kind of guys that Tubby recruited too. You know, he deserves a little bit of credit on that, and I think, or a lot actually, and I think Beard actually gave him some credit a week or two ago on getting these guys here and in shape to play the way they have this whole time. So you know, whether Tubby's departure rubs you the wrong way or not, you can't deny the fact that he had most of these guys ready. And they were already here, and they stuck the course, and Keenan Evans turned into one of the best players we'll ever see play basketball in a Texas Tech uniform. And I know some of the, you know, it was under Beard's tutelage too. He deserves some credit as well, but a lot of these guys came in ready to play, and it was a moment that I didn't really grasp at the time. Because we were trying to leave the bar. We were at Nick's, and then I was like, what's he doing subbing people in with 9.8 seconds left? And it didn't even completely hit me because we were standing up and, you know, getting our stuff and everything. It's like, I wonder what is he doing? Does he want these other guys to come in? I wasn't thinking about it the other way. I wasn't thinking about, you know, giving the seniors their time to check out the game one last time. I don't know why I didn't. Until I saw your tweet, actually, and I was like, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I wish I'd have paid attention and actually watched that moment instead of trying to leave the bar before before everybody else.
Yeah, and as not a lifelong basketball fan, I wonder if that last sub, like what that the significance of that is. Is it so the other team isn't celebrating on you? Is it so that, you know, you get to leave the court not on your terms, but, you know, as part of the game, like you don't lose the game on the, I don't know.
Yeah. But it was, I go back to I know when Tim Duncan played his last game, I don't know if it's like a basketball rule, one of those unwritten rules or not, but I think when he played his last game, he was in. And, of course, they needed him in because they were in it. You know, I think it was really close against Oklahoma City. And, of course, as soon as it was over, he jogged off the court, put number one in the air and stuff. And
get out of here with that Spurs nonsense.
No, it's not nonsense. It's a wonderful moment. But there is something to it. There's some kind of – I think it's one of those unwritten rules about having just a little bit of respect and – one, you know, if there's a crowd there, they have a chance to cheer you when you come out, that type of thing.
I think it's true.
I think that's really the majority of it. It gives the fans some time to give you some love, even though it's, you know, towards the end of the game. But I think that's a big part of it. Because, you know, they'll do that sometimes. I've seen them do it in if a particular player has a really good game and he's played really well. And, you know, they'll take him out with 30 seconds or 20 seconds left or whatever. That way he can get an ovation, kind of get some love from the fans.
Yeah, that's true.
So you'll see that quite a bit. So I think it's kind of that same thing, just a show of respect. Which was cool to see. Hey, and speaking of Keenan Evans, our guy's been playing with a broken toe, Spencer.
Yeah, so that came out shortly after the game, I guess. He was told not to say anything, and I guess after the season, he's like, it doesn't matter anymore. But Keenan Evans confirmed that it wasn't turf toe, it wasn't some kind of ligament, a sprain. He actually has a broken toe, expecting to have some kind of corrective, reconstructive surgery of some kind. What really, it just really goes to show and elevate his performance that much more. That
yes.
Those last few weeks of the season since the Baylor game, that it wasn't just like, okay, I got to deal with, you know, a jammed toe or whatever you want to call it. The bone was broken. Like, it wasn't healing, obviously, and he wasn't going to allow it to keep him out any longer than it already had. That just, I mean, that really demonstrates what kind of player and how committed he was to Texas Tech and the success of this season, that he wasn't going to let a broken bone in his foot keep him from being the player this team needed.
A broken toe, Spencer.
The big toe. No, yeah. It's like the other, your little toe and your big toe are the most important of the five, right? Because I've actually heard your little toe does so much in your balance that if you're to break your little toe, or if, you know, heaven forbid, like you don't have a little toe anymore, like you have to relearn how to balance when you walk because of how much weight that little toe takes. Your big toe, you don't realize how much you use it. Like, it's in every step. It bends and moves, and it's unbelievable he was able to do what he did with a broken toe.
I still can't fathom it, man, because I think about what would have changed in my life with a broken big toe, and, you know, driving would have been different, probably sleeping hurt to an extent, just the pressure of the sheets, sitting at my desk might have hurt, everything would have hurt, and this guy's out here playing D1 ball. He's playing in the tournament. He's playing in round three against the number one team that's picked to win it all. It's just, he just amazed me even more when we learned that. And I wasn't completely surprised that that was the case, just because he seemed like the type of player who would just say, all right, it's just pain. It's not going to get worse, which is what he said and what everybody had been saying. All right, I'll just keep going with it. And I thought, man, what – If he broke that thing and he's playing on it, I just can't imagine it. I can't imagine going to my job with a broken toe. That would take some getting used to, that's for sure.
Even being able to walk around.
Yes, yeah.
Can't do that. And he's, you know, playing Division I basketball, NCAA tournament, Elite Eight level basketball.
Yeah.
On nine toes.
Yeah. And that probably explains why a lot of these games, his... Because in the tournament, all three, the Big 12 tournament and then the NCAA tournament, the quick turnaround, I think, really hurt him. And he seemed to always play much better in the first game. Like in the Big 12 game, he played really well against Texas, not quite as well against West Virginia. I think the same could be said for Stephen F. Austin and Florida, even though he still played great in both of those games. Then obviously in Villanova, he didn't have a good game. He had a bad game, especially for him, only going 3-for-12 from the field and just coming away with 12 points.
He was like 1-for-6 at one point.
Yeah, he really had a tough game. But you can kind of go back and look at that. Well, dude was playing on a broken toe not even 48 hours after he just played a game against Purdue. So, okay, I can live with that. I mean, I just still can't imagine it, man. I can't imagine going out there and doing what he did.
He's going to live in the Texas Tech lore of basketball players.
Yep.
Actually, there's a question that we got. We'll go ahead and answer this one since it's relevant to this. But Stephen F. Austin, at Stephen F. Austin, asked us, is Keenan Evans the greatest Texas Tech player of all time? So there's two questions. He also said, who else in your top five? But I didn't start following Texas Tech basketball until that 2007-2008 season when I was a freshman there, which was one of Bob Knight's last seasons there. So I don't have a lot of context or historical data to compare Keenan Evans to. I've seen highlights of guys like Daryl Dora, who's on the staff now. You know, so the guys I was able to watch were guys like John Roberson, Dwaylon Roberts, Mike Singletary. Pat Knight's teams weren't super talented. Besides, like a Jay Crockett.
He was
one of the most, like, he and Zach Smith are one of the, on the levels of being super entertaining to watch. That they could just ignite a crowd the drop of a hat with their athleticism. But those are the guys that I watched. There's another Josh Gray. But, like, that's not a very wide historical base to go off of. It, you know, it's 10 years. But of that, Keenan Evans would have to be in that top group.
Same.
At least for me.
Yeah, I hate to just piggyback because
No, Michael, have an opinion on your own.
I think I mentioned it a week or two ago on one of them that I didn't really start following it that closely till Tubby Smith got here. And I did follow, you know, when Gillespie came through and Walker ended up being the interim coach. I remember just because of all the shakeups and how crazy things were and how much I really wanted Walker to succeed, I think I really started following it that year. Was probably the first year I took a lot of interest in it. And so definitely since that time, I'm like you, man. I can't go back to the 90s and confidently say who was playing on that, was it 95-96 team?
Mm-hmm. They won 30 games. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't go back through there and come up with a good one. But Keenan Evans, man, for me, he's the best I've seen in the last, 7 years or so since I've been watching it. And I know that means that he's got to be among the top guys that have ever played for us.
Well, when you look at him and like his role on this team, he was obviously, he was the number one, the leader of this team on a Texas Tech team that went further than any other team in Texas Tech history. So if you're going to look at it that way, then yeah, I mean, obviously he's got to be up there with one of the best. Like I said, I don't have the historical data to compare it to, but with the success of this season, I think there'll be many more people in our shoes that will have started following Texas Tech basketball because of Keenan Evans and this team.
Yeah. Well, and if we went back and looked, and if I'd have thought about it, I would have, but the games that we lost, the majority of them, I think, were games that he either didn't play or played poorly or played on a freshly broken toe. You know, it really mattered.
Four-game losing streak was like, so he broke it either at the end of, like, no, so he broke it against Baylor. That was the first game we lost.
Yep.
That four-game losing streak right there at the end of the season, all on Keenan Evans breaking his toe and not being able to get back in, obviously, on a broken toe that quickly.
Yeah, I can only think of one win that he just played so-so and someone else really took over, and I think that was the Oklahoma State game, where I think it was Culver who had 25 or something crazy, where Tech was behind almost the whole game here in Lubbock and then came back and won. And I don't think Evans had a great or, you know, not what we're typically right. used to seeing him do.
We're expecting.
Yeah, so there's probably just a handful of the wins that he wasn't the high point, or he didn't just start making clutch shots in the last 3 minutes, or just the way he... It was the Texas game, wasn't it, where he did that Jordan Byron Russell move in overtime and drained that shot while yes. being fouled. Mm-hmm. I mean, that alone should put you in the top three. That was beautiful.
Yeah, and like when you talk about, you know, games where he didn't go, you know, go all out, there were, on the flip side, there was a stretch of games, three or four in a row, where he was averaging nearly 30 points a game.
Yeah.
And he was just like, just he took over. I mean, he did that even in games where he didn't score 30 points, but Keenan Evans was going to get his, and there was nothing you can do about it. That's something that we haven't seen at Texas Tech for, at least in my lifetime, my fan lifetime, is that an offensive player can just score at will. It seems, from, like I said, my experience, it's always been more of a team effort. It's going to be spread around a whole, with the exception of maybe John Roberson, but I don't have the greatest memory of watching him play. That was back real early on when I was following. Josh Gray was pretty good, but he was so streaky. Like, I don't know. And then he wasn't here for very long.
Well, my question, I've got another question for you. Do you think if Keenan Evans hadn't broken his toe, if we would be undisputably saying that he is the greatest Texas Tech basketball player of all time? Because he would have added to his stat sheet during those games that he didn't play or that he was really hobbled, and would have really made a case for it, and probably would have been, what, I think he made third team All-American. I've read something about that today. I mean, he probably would have been really in the conversation to make first team, or very close to it. Of course, Devontae Graham just took off at the end of this year, too. But I don't know. What do you think? If he hadn't injured himself, would we be here going, oh, yeah, without question, he's probably the best one?
Making the assumption that he was healthy the entire season minus this toe, I think Texas Tech would still be playing.
I think you're right.
I think that, one, they wouldn't have lost those four games. Or if they did lose, they wouldn't have lost all of those four games.
No, there's no way.
I would say you would have finished first in the conference in the regular season. So then you would have won a regular season title, which I don't... It's been a long time since Tech has been able to do that. You probably would have gone a little bit further in the conference tournament, if not won that thing. You would have been a 1 or 2 seed in the tournament, in the NCAA tournament. You wouldn't have been facing a Villanova. Maybe you would have been on the other side of the bracket, and you would have been facing a UMBC and lost that.
Oh, yeah, that would have been nice.
But no, like you would have... Like I said, assuming that those four games wouldn't have been like, and I'm really focusing on those four, because I think obviously when you talk about his health, you look at those games, and then everything past that. I don't think you would have lost any of the games that you won if Keenan was fully healthy. Obviously, yeah, I mean it would have been no question he would have been. This wouldn't be a debate, but we wouldn't be talking about it because we'd be like, okay, we're getting ready for a Final Four trip in San Antonio. Who's going?
Right, yeah. we'd have been getting ready to play Kansas or, you know, whoever. Hopefully it would not. Have worked out with the the revised number 1-2 seeding on our part.
Who else is in your top five? Again, I would say it'd have to include Daryl Dora, probably have to include a Jay Crockett, a Mike Singletary. Again, this is just from the group of players I know. Josh, like, again, I don't have a very deep pool to pull from, so Josh Roberson, John Roberson, sorry, and that's five with Keenan, so.
Sounds good to me.
Probably not the best people to ask for, a Mount Rushmore of Texas Tech basketball players. I'm going to give you a Mount Rushmore of the past 10 years, but it's not been the highest level of success for Tech basketball. So we said we were going to get into football and baseball, that our notes were kind of light. 45 minutes in, we're still talking about basketball. Before we move on, I just think that there's a couple more questions I think we need to address. Is where do we go from here? Where does 2019 season, what does that look like? Do you want to start, Michael, or do you want me to go?
I think we should I'm just going to go into like the macro side of things. I think we should expect to make the tournament still, or at least be in the top three or four of the conference. I'm not expecting us to, you know, do what we did this year. I'm not expecting us to repeat it. It was due to a lot of guys who are now graduating and moving on, Keenan Evans being a lot of the reason, Zach Smith, of course, and Justin Gray being integral parts
of the team.
The
glue guy.
Yeah. And then, you know, Stevenson came in and really, really put in some good minutes. And just, man, he plays hard. He plays really hard. So we're going to miss that too. But I don't expect a huge drop-off. I feel confident in the guys that Beard's bringing in. Is it Kayvon Moore? I think that's really got us excited. And, you know, he's still
a big guy that can score.
Yeah, and he's got a lot of scholarships. I think a few other scholarship spots to fill, so it'll be kind of a fun offseason. And I'm sure Mike Labar will keep us updated on who he's going after. So that's kind of my take on it, I would temper the expectations based off of this season, but I think they should still be somewhat high because I think Beard's a good coach. And if Smith stays, Zaire Smith stays, then that's going to be a huge benefit to us. And, you know, that's kind of where I stand on it. What do you think?
Yeah. No, I don't think you're going to make the Elite Eight unless you – like if you do, it'd be more of like a Cinderella than a three-seed kind of
right. Rushing
through.
You'd be coming in at like a 13-seed or something, 14.
Well, I don't think you're coming that low. You may be like a 9, 10, 11 – because if what the draft projections are showing are going to hold out for Zaire Smith, I don't think he's coming back. Which is crazy to think that you had a one and done player at Texas Tech.
Yeah, but then you saw him play, and you're like, okay, yeah. I can see NBA coaches kind of salivating at this guy.
you've got some great point guards behind Evans, like the transfer from Missouri that's sitting out. I don't know if you can just expect him to plug and play in Keenan Evans' spot. Culver, I don't think, is going to be your one guard.
I don't think he's more of a two-three. Yeah.
You know, you're losing Zach Smith. You're going to have to figure out how Malik Ondigo is going to do, figure out how to rely on Kayvon Moore, how to get Norin Soriase to really take over that five spot, because he's not going to have a Tommy Hamilton to spell him and probably rotate with Malik. But those are two very different body sizes. Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot more difficult. You have more of an uphill climb where I think you should probably expect a little bit lower finish than you did this season. But we were also picked to finish seventh. And I know that, like you said, you know, it's hard to think that the team we had this year was picked to finish seventh and you finished second. That's going to be difficult to repeat, obviously, without the core group of guys that we've mentioned. But I don't want to underestimate what Chris Beard can do. So I don't want to say he's going to fall back to seven. It'll be really interesting to see how this team comes back.
Yeah, I'm excited.
It's going to look completely different. I mean, you're going to have Jarrett Culver and Norin Soriase and a Brandon Francis, basically, from the guys that really provide lots of minutes for you. Everything else is going to be new faces, new roles. Hopefully guys like Moretti and Francis step up and contribute more to this team, especially in the absence of Evans. Culver's going to be here another year. This is assuming Zaire Smith isn't coming back. If he comes back, that's going to really go a long way to kind of bridge that gap. But then you're going to have new guys that you're going to have to bring up to speed. I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I agree. I'm actually excited about it. I'm anxious to see how they look next year and what's going to change.
Yeah, so I also heard, I bring this up earlier, when you were talking about still having some spots to fill, that they will be pursuing graduate transfers again, kind of backfill, like you're not going after high school guys, you're kind of going for that transfer market to get guys like a Tommy Hamilton that came in and played 1 year, just hoping that you can find another guy that you can kind of plug in with experience to help bring along the new guys and kind of fill in where you've got a lot of experience leaving, but you can kind of immediately inject that back in with a graduate transfer.
Yep.
So we'll be sure to keep on top of that. You know, if you're listening, go ahead and let us know, whether on Twitter or whatever, where you think this team's going to go next year, how they're going to do it. Because I'm really interested to see what everybody thinks about that. But I say we go ahead and turn to football, since that was another... Yeah.
News producing.
Well, one bit of news I don't think we can let go unmentioned is that they had the first of three open spring practices this past weekend in Midland. From all reports, it was everybody stayed healthy. They performed. I mean, you didn't have any like major standouts. You didn't have any guys that were super disappointing. Still making progress. Excited to see, you know, over the next couple of weeks, the open practices here in Lubbock and Dallas, how those go. Probably going to look a little bit differently.
Yeah, they might. They might look a little.
Suspensions don't get cleared up before then. I don't know what to expect about that. But unless you've been living under a rock, you know that four players were arrested Sunday morning after the spring practice. They were, several football players were at a local watering hole, a drinking establishment here in town that doesn't have the best reputation.
Yeah, it's a dump. It's the worst. I can't.
I've never been, so.
Okay. Oh, man. I will say their name. It's Bash Rip Rocks, and most people probably have already seen it in there, but I remember going there years ago and never really liked it. I think I only went a handful of times. They have one really weird room that I think the ceiling's 7 feet tall, and then you walk into a hole in the wall to another room where the ceiling's completely different, and it's just like it's I don't know. I think all that in there just makes people angry. Just confines you, makes you feel confined, and it hasn't had a great reputation. I think a Tech player got. There was some assault there or something last June.
Isn't that where Jakeem Grant got shot?
Well, I think it was stabbed.
Stabbed, whatever.
And I don't know if it was there, okay. Well, I may be starting rumors on that, but there was definitely something involving a Tech player last June at Bash Rip Rocks. And so just don't go there. Just don't go there, guys.
Good news there is I think Kingsbury has forbidden the team from ever returning to that establishment.
Oh, man, fully agree.
So, yeah, like I said, if you haven't been following with the story, four players were arrested. Jet Duffy, one of your guys that are competing for the starting quarterback position. Christian Taylor, those are the two guys that I would say actually did some criminal damage, if you will. Then two other guys got arrested, Quan Shorts and...
Desmond Smith.
Desmond Smith. I think they were arrested for what police were calling interference. They weren't getting back. There was a large crowd of people there, and if you haven't seen the video, there's an 18-minute full version of it. Although it starts right, you don't see what provoked Christian Taylor to smash out this dude's windshield with his bare hand, which, impressive, dude. I don't want to say out of your way.
Yeah.
So you don't know what provoked it. We've heard stories that, like, there were not some threats, but there was some aggressive behavior between the driver of this vehicle going back and forth, passing the group. And then eventually, very slowly, hit Christian Taylor in the street with his car. I think that's when he started hitting it. But the video starts right after that. There's a shortened version of it, maybe a minute long. I haven't seen that one, but I think it's just basically the highlights of a few of the arrests. But it's a very large group of people out on the street between U-Lofts and Bash Rip Rocks. I think what initiated the police presence, there was a threat of somebody going for a gun, not one of the football players, one of the other guys on the opposite side of this disagreement or argument. There was, like I said, a threat of a gun. When police showed up, that's when they saw Christian Taylor hit the vehicle again. You don't know exactly what provoked it from the video, but like I said, there's a large group of people out in the street. Police, you know, initially arrest Christian Taylor, and then a lot of people onlooker style kind of descend on the police officers, and they're screaming at him, what's going on? What are you doing? Why are you doing this to him? Several of them being football players asking about their teammate. Cause it looks like when they when they moved Christian Taylor, he kind of, went limp. Not like he was hurt or anything, but I don't understand exactly what's going on. But they were asking about him, like, hey, can you help him sit up? Can you roll him over? Police were telling everybody to get back. Several of the other arrests, like I said, Desmond Smith and Quan Shorts were arrested because they didn't. Those two arrests weren't actually on the 18-minute video. I think it was another officer that arrested those guys. While it was dumb for both Christian Taylor and Jet Duffy to have hit both of the things that they hit, one being a car, one being a wall, in terms, like, if you were to have a spectrum of off-season drama and reasons why somebody got arrested, this was all on the very low end. There have been talks whether or not these players should be removed from the team. It seems like the longer the story goes on, the more details that come out. I don't think they absolutely not should be removed. I think they should remain on the team. They should be punished, which I think they were. There was a practice today, and reporters saw at least two of them in, like, the brown workout clothes of shame running stadium stairs.
Yeah.
Kingsbury came out and said they're still on the team, all four of them, but they've been suspended indefinitely. I don't know how long that's going to go, what's going to go throughout the rest of the spring, if it's going to kind of bleed over to the season where they're going to miss a game or a half or whatever. What are your takes on this situation?
I feel like it's... You don't want to just excuse it saying, kids will be kids. No, there's consequences to your actions, and I think especially Taylor and Duffy are going to find out what these consequences are. It wasn't smart to do what they did. I'm pretty positive that they feel the same way. It's not like I know these guys personally, but I'm sure they regretted it almost instantly, and if not instantly, probably within an hour. So
once they were in handcuffs, you're like, yeah, that was dumb.
Yeah, that wasn't worth all that.
I would say probably Jet Duffy. Christian Taylor may not have, this is me speaking for him, and I don't want to really put words in his mouth or whatever. Depending on what provoked him, I don't know if he would have felt bad for what he did.
That's true. If the person driving that car was the one making the threat about having a firearm and was the one, and was trying to run him over do something like that, then yeah, he really may not regret it that much. But
he may regret he may regret being arrested.
Oh yeah, but actually,
I don't know if he would have regret his actions. Again, that's me speaking for him. I don't want to really. You shouldn't accept my words just then for how he actually feels.
Yeah, gosh, no, don't accept our words at all for how any of these guys feel.
Hold on.
You didn't let me finish. What gets lost in this, too, is, yes, there were four Tech players arrested, but there were 10 total. So it was just a really hairy situation. Of course, Duffy and Taylor were charged with counts of criminal mischief, yeah, but it's still a misdemeanor. I think damage below $750 still qualifies that. And then Shorts and Smith were charged with misdemeanor counts of disorderly conduct, which is what the other six people were charged with who were hauled to jail as well. So
I think the ones that were told to get back and didn't.
Right. They didn't comply. They didn't comply with the officer's orders, and so they, I think they were warned, and then they were taken away. So, yeah, based on what I know now, no, I don't think that these guys deserve to be off the team. I do like that Kingsbury kind of left the caveat in there of, because it's not, it's not done. They're going to be charged, and they're going to have to go before the court and pay the fine or, whatever it is they're going to have to do the community service.
For the repairs, probably.
Yeah. I mean, it's not over, legally speaking. So I think Kingsbury was right to kind of just suspend him indefinitely at this point, and then I think he's going to still see what comes of it legally, what the legal consequences will be, and then maybe take further action, maybe not, maybe deem that, hauling 44 pounds of stuff up and down the stairs several times, plus not getting to play in Frisco or in Lubbock is going to be enough punishment. So I think he's approaching it about as best he can.
And I know for at least, you know, Jet Duffy, missing practice time is detrimental to him who's trying to secure a starting position on this team. Christian Taylor's been kind of a rotational special teams guy. I don't think missing playing time is going to change that. I don't think he was going to be competing for a starting role. I mean, no offense to him. Desmond Smith may or may not have been competing. I mean, he's probably competing for a starting role, but there's so many defensive backs, it would have been difficult to have secured a spot. Probably would have been like a rotational guy. Quan Shorts, probably expected to start on the outside. Like, yeah. I said, those two guys probably are going to get off a little bit easier in terms of punishment, I would think, because of the nature of their charges and the arrest.
Right. I mean, in more ways than one, they'll get off easier in the eyes of the law and probably with Kingsbury.
Right. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see how long this goes out. We actually thought about recording last night, but we kind of put it off. It's like, well, we might be able to get some more information on the football stuff if we wait another day. We didn't really get anything else besides them being still on the team at this point and being suspended. But that indefinitely term just means from here until I say so.
Right. Yeah.
I'm still really interested to go watch the scrimmage when they come to Lubbock. I don't think the one in Frisco will be televised, but it'll be good for you Dallas folks to go out and watch it. I'm going to try to get a 23 personnel podcast meetup with Michael and I. I don't know if anybody else is going to follow us, but maybe we should promote that. We should have a podcast / STP meetup.
Do we need a banner?
Yeah, we're probably not recognizable enough. We can just like stand over and say, hey, come find us. But there are three of us here in Lubbock. It's me, you, and LeBar. So
yeah, there'll at least be three of us there.
We can probably wear some of our shirts that Brian designed. Although that material on a larger figure like myself, wow, that was very effeminate. Not very.
Not the most flattering.
No.
Yeah, I've noticed that. I've noticed that over here too. I can't quite pull it off. I need a little bit. Well, that's why I didn't get the tri blend this time. And if you do, you got to go black.
It's Brian's fault. It's Brian's fault. For
you get the tri blend, you got to get the black because that helps a little bit.
I got the dark gray.
With those of us who are more shapely.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't think we can just stand out and say, hey, come find us. But maybe we should have a STP 23 personnel podcast meetup, meet some listeners, readers, fans, and cuss and discuss, as they say.
Yeah, sounds like a plan to me.
All right, before we run out of time, let's move on to baseball. A little more cheery weekend. Like we're all hoping for, they had a bounce-back series against Northeastern.
A team
from the Boston area. Boston.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting, because the basketball team was up in Boston. They came down from Boston.
The basketball team actually practiced in Northeastern's gym. How about that?
They did, yeah. Kind of surprisingly, Northeastern is the number 8 RPI team, or at least they were, this weekend. Texas Tech had a 4-game sweep against them, had very nearly a record number of runs in a series. I think they scored...
Oh, I had it added up over here. It's 56.
56 runs in a 4-game series.
Yep.
All of them seemed like it was pretty comfortable. Texas Tech has moved back into the number 1 spot on the RPI, which is good and bad. Like, there was a morning host here in town that kind of joked, like, well, nothing you do is going to help you with your RPI because everybody else is under you.
Right.
But with the 4-game sweep, Texas Tech moves to 21-5. The game tonight, we're against New Mexico State, actually got postponed because of the weather. We're actually getting rain here.
Was it because of the weather? Because they announced it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I just knew it was postponed, and they haven't set the new date for it yet.
Well, because I think they play them again next week, but I think they're
I think they play them in Midland next week.
Well, so it's you just had a couple hours things. And do a doubleheader.
Yeah, maybe they'll do that. But I heard the radio guys say today that since it was a home game, New Mexico State will have the final say in if they wanted to do that.
That's true. And as an out of conference game, it's not like Texas Tech needs to add it back to their schedule. They're still going to, like, if they don't replace this game, they will play 55 games this season instead of 56, which is still going to be up there because of all the 4-game weekend series they've played. I think they've played 3 so far.
Yeah.
And they had like five-game midweek series. Or no, sorry. They had a two-game midweek series with Louisville. So they were playing a lot of games. So missing one against New Mexico State is not going to be the end of the world if they don't end up rescheduling it. As we mentioned earlier in the podcast, they're home this week against West Virginia. By the time they finish the series, they will be halfway through their season. Quietly, you know, it's been 6 weeks since they started, but with basketball taking 95% of everybody's attention around town, baseball's been really quiet.
Well, and they just haven't been here forever.
That's true.
It seems like they've been gone for the longest time.
And then this series against Northeastern, after conference play started, but it was also in the middle of the NCAA basketball tournaments and kind of been quiet. I'm assuming it'll pick right back up this weekend, being that basketball is done and it's a home series against a conference opponent. It'll be Thursday through Saturday. Moved it up a day for the Easter holiday on Sunday.
Yeah, they went over 2 full weeks not playing in Lubbock. It was 16 days.
It's a lot.
It's a long little drought without baseball floating around.
Yeah, so as a baseball fan, hoping that they can get back on track, especially in conference, especially, you know, missing your starting pitchers that have been out, especially Erickson Lanning kind of filling in that other weekend spot, left-handed pitcher, as you know, when you lost Gingrey, you saw Lanning, but he's been out. You've got some bullpen guys that you're trying to make sure are healthy before you fully bring them back in. Still kind of trucking along. Your offense is solid and streaky against really good competition. They were quiet against really bad competition. They just light people up.
Yeah,
hoping that you can just continue building on your offensive success and scoring lots and lots of runs, at least one more than your opponent every game. You have anything else on baseball? I know you're not like a baseball guy, but
I'm not. But now that basketball's over, I'll hopefully have a little more to say than just, yeah, that sounds good.
Well, with the basketball season being over and we've got some season tickets in our office, I'll have to grab a couple more and see if we can go watch some games.
Yeah, and a lot of the Big 12 games are televised, so that's really helpful too.
Yeah, the ones this weekend will all be on TV. I think they're mixed between Fox Sports 1 and Fox Sports Southwest.
Yes.
Fox Sports Southwest Plus. It's on the Fox network.
Yeah. So that's always helpful to be able to have that on.
Yeah, but I mean, for a home series, you want to be there. So.
Yep.
All right. I think it's time we answer these last two listener questions. I'm gonna cue you up for this first one, because I'm not sure where I fall on this one, but it's from our friend Brian. Chips on a sandwich, yes or no?
Okay, before I answer this, I want to give Brian a shout out because he made some really great posters for the 3 rounds of basketball that Tech played. And
he does it for every football game too.
Right, he does it for every football game,
and they're all for sale. So if you want to go buy some of his artwork, he's on Twitter at @B_DonCarlos. I'm sure he's got his online store on his Twitter. If he doesn't, I'm going to text him now to get it up there.
But yeah, I mean, really check it out. He really did some great work, especially these three he did for the NCAA tournament. They're some of my favorites that he's done. The first one he did had Burn the Boats as the theme, and
which is a freaking awesome.
Yeah, that was just a great marketing thing in general by the Texas Tech Athletics guys, whoever thought of that. And then Brian took it and did a really nice job with it, and it is the background of my tablet, but it might soon be replaced by his rendering of Chris Beard kind of looking like Wimpy from Popeye holding a bag of Whataburger. Lovingly.
Great.
It's a lovingly tribute. So anyway, check out his posters. But back to his question, chips on the sandwich, yes or no? Yes, but I'm particular about it. If you'll believe that. The only time I really like to put chips on a sandwich is when it's a bologna sandwich. And then the only chips I like to put on a bologna sandwich are plain Lay's potato chips. I think I have put, okay, I take that back, not just bologna, but tuna salad. I've put plain Lay's potato chips on tuna salad before, and that's turned out quite well. But that's really it. I usually don't do it outside of that. What do you got, Spencer? Are you a chips on a sandwich guy or what? Have you tried it?
Absolutely not.
No?
No, that's just...
Oh, it's good. You get that crunch in there, but I'm particular on when I do it. So it's not like if someone hands me a Philly cheesesteak, I'm going to put some Doritos on it or something. It's got to be certain things. I think back when I was a kid, I'd put Fritos on sandwiches, but that was just kind of weird. I think I was trying to start something and it never caught on, not even with myself.
See, here's what I'm thinking, though. If you have to add something to a sandwich, then the sandwich wasn't that good to start with, right?
Well, but that goes to say anything. Well, okay. Why would you put cheese on it? Why would you put mayonnaise on it? Why would you
put cheese on a hamburger? You know what I mean, though. Like, chips are not a regular sandwich topping.
It just enhances it. No, it's nice. It's nice to get that crunch, that little extra saltiness. But it doesn't fully change the flavor profile of it because it's plain Lay's potato chips. I mean, really, all you taste in plain Lay's potato chips is like oil and salt. They don't taste like potato. They don't taste like anything else. It's just kind of like, oh, sure. this is a form of grease that I can crunch. So I'm good with this. Yeah, I'm all about it, Brian. I'm all about it on bologna and tuna, especially. I bet if you brought up a couple other ones, I might go with it. But I'm a purist. It's just got to be plain Lay's.
Yeah, I'm not gonna put any chips on a sandwich.
Live on the wild side, man.
Sorry, I'm also trying to look for where Brian has his artwork for sale, because it's not on his Twitter account like I said it would be.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah,
and it's not on any of the posts on Staking the Plains, but.
Yeah, maybe we can, if we find it, we can put it in the show notes or something, because he does have a website set up to where you can buy some posters and different sizes. You can get them framed if you want, or there's different ways that you can get the posters printed. And we'll figure out what that is and get that up there.
Yeah, I'm gonna message him right now. So when he responds, while we're recording, I will insert it back into our discussion. You want to, okay, we need to address this other question because it's something we talked about before, and it's from somebody that has really helped us as a podcast get our show off the ground, from the Slaytons, or at the Slaytons. He's been a technical advisor, if you will, for us podcasting noobs. He asked the question of all questions: is it a breakfast taco or breakfast burrito?
And, well, I feel like, you know, this is always worth addressing. It's firmly, as far as the 23 Personnel podcast is concerned, it is breakfast burrito. We've made this clear a few times. We've stated our cases. There's a lot of reasonings behind this.
There's data. There's maps.
There's data.
There are maps. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Grammar police.
I'm firmly on the side of the burrito. But just always the clarification, just the asterisk that I'm not against the taco for other meals, for lunch or dinner, or for like 2 a.m. You know, tacos are great. I love tacos. But
when I think of tacos, I mean, even so, like, yeah, you need to wrap it up, roll it up, close one end, at least one end, if not both.
Have some respect for yourself.
And that's a burrito.
Yeah. So. I don't like to wear my breakfast if at all possible.
I mean, I'm a messy eater, so I need to, like, if there are any open ends to things, I need to close it up.
Yep.
All right. What did we learn this week?
I've got two things I learned.
You start.
Okay, I'll tell you my first thing. My first thing is that I learned that Elon Musk, who's a private citizen, can shoot his own car into space. But we can't create a way for me to pull out one single baby wipe at a time with one hand. Every time I pull out like five of them, and you know, your other hand is obviously occupied. Yes, We have a very wiggly baby. She just turned one in December, and she is all over the place when you're trying to change her. If you take your hand off of her, she's going to end up on the floor, and we're going to end up in the emergency room. So there was one time I was so frustrated, and I didn't even notice it. I was pulling the wipes out with my free hand, and I couldn't get one to come apart, so I just pulled as hard as I could.
You get like a whole like string of them coming out.
I thought it, a couple ended up on the floor, and I figured it out later. But then I came in, and my wife noticed it, and one was about an hour or two later, whenever she needed her diaper changed again. This was when she was really little, and my wife noticed that there was one hanging on the ceiling fan. So it's like, what happened? And
only a dad changing a diaper could get one on the ceiling fan.
I was like, well, hell, you can't get one out at a time. I turn into like Walter Brennan or something when I'm getting into that. So that's what I learned this week, is that someone needs to figure this out, because we've tried several brands, not because of this. You know, we just try several brands, and we found a brand that we like that's cheap and does a good job. And so we're sticking with it, but all of them are the same way. You can't just pull one out at a time. You're going to pull five. What did you learn? I've got another one if you want me to go.
Just that. So, you know, we're in the process of dominating our neighbors. We got the fence stained and sealed this weekend.
Ooh.
Only took me like 8 hours of work to do it because I didn't know what I was doing. Finally got a decent sprayer and figured out, one, you have to have the right tip. You also have to have a lot of pressure behind the spray. And you can't apply too much of it because the wood was so absorbent. If I over-applied, I didn't have enough time to go spread it around before it soaked back in. So one, that's good. The thing I learned in my domination is that I probably missed my window for seeding grass by a week.
Oh,
And not that it's bad, but that right now with the torrential rains we're getting, which, don't get me wrong, I'm excited for it. I'm thrilled that the Lubbock area is getting these rains. Without any grass holding the dirt down in my yard, it's all washing out to the streets. Like, I just hope there's something left when the rain stops to actually plant my grass in.
Well, I'm sure you can figure something out. Maybe if we wait long enough, some topsoil from further south will blow onto your yard.
That's true. There's an open field where they're expanding the neighborhood. They're going to be building just to the west of us. So there's
or even as far, you know, like Ropesville or Brownfield. You know, you might get some of their topsoil to land on your yard, and then that'll be really nice, and it'll come in well, have all the nutrients that the farmers put in it, and help. Help your yard grow.
Nutrient, like we're already getting plenty of nutrients from our dog. I've got the fertilizer ready to go down with a new seed. Which, by the way, we're doing tall fescue. I'm excited to dominate them that way because they've got Bermuda, and it's all dead. Because unfortunately, when we all bought our houses on this part of the street, we closed in December, so they laid dormant Bermuda sod in December. I was like, That's not going
to
work.
I know. I've always... That never seems to work out. Because I remember some houses... Our neighborhood's pretty new, too. And they even closed in, like, October and November. And then I remember the following spring and summer, they still had, you know, four or five dead patches that they just couldn't get to grow. And I think they finally gave up on them and put some new ones down. But, yeah, we lucked out. We closed on ours when we did in August. We didn't really luck out because that means we had to water the heck out of it, and our bill was ginormous. But we knew it was coming, but still, it was a very large water bill. Oh, I wanted to tell you the other thing I learned this week. You're not going to like it, but you already know what it is.
Oh, gosh.
It's that, you know, that Sonic Mushroom burger patty? That's pretty dang good. That was pretty darn good. I got that last Tuesday, I think, and we'd been to like a little wine thing, and of course they serve like hors d'oeuvres and stuff, and like I need me something to eat on the way home.
That only like piques the appetite. You're like, now I'm ready to really go after something.
It's like, what's next? So yeah, we had some hors d'oeuvres and stuff like that. It actually was pretty hearty, but I still didn't fill up. And this burger was perfect. It was $2. It was just about the size you want. The little brioche bun was nice and sweet. It was kind of like a potato bun or potato bread, you know. And then the only thing I noticed differently was that the burger might have been a little salty, but I think it was because of their bold spices that they include on the Signature Slinger. So, all right, all y'all out there that want to do your part about cow farts, go ahead. Feel free to get you the Sonic Mushroom Burger. You'll be glad you did. It'll be a good $2.14 that you'll spend. And I really don't have any big complaints on it. It was good. It was exactly what I wanted after going.
You know what else
thing.
is delicious for $2 that Sonic sells? That's a hamburger. Is their Junior Double Cheeseburger. Two patties, cheese, pickles, ketchup.
Yeah, but this doesn't have all the guilt, Spencer. This was 360 calories. And I tell you what, when I go to a burger joint and I order a burger, calories,
that's exactly what I'm thinking of.
Calories are the
right
first thing on my list, you bet.
All right, so really quickly before we close, Brian got back with me. You might need to write this down, but the link to his store, so it's hosted at society6.com. So it's SOCIETY numbers and then the number 6.com/B for Brian Don Carlos. So BDONCARLOS.
Check
it out.
He has
assured
guys.
Me. Yeah, he's assured me he will get the NCAA tournament artwork up on there soon. If it's not there when you check it out, buy prints, support this very talented artist and architect, just as unbelievable. Like the one that he did of Keenan Evans this past week. Like, I don't even know like where to even begin, where he did like all the geometric shapes to actually get like a finished image out of it.
Yeah, he made him look like a vintage video game character. Like a Konami character.
Oh, and then he got ripped on the post for not putting the right code in there,
but he was right. No, he was right. He backed it up. I think, and that seems right to me. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I think what he had up there was right too. I wouldn't argue with him.
Yeah, he's got up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, start.
Sounds good
to
me.
I think at least one of them was up, up, down, up, up, down, down, left, right, A, B, A, B, select, start.
Was that a Konami one, though?
I'm pretty sure it was.
Okay. I don't know. I didn't cheat. I played the video games as they were intended to be played, except for NBA Jam Tournament Edition, where I got the book, and then I could play as, like, Bill Clinton or the Bulls mascot or Bill Gates. All these random people you could play as. It was nuts.
Yeah. Anyways, like I said, if you haven't checked out any of his artwork, you need to go check it out. Go to a store. Again, it's society6.com/bdoncarlos. Buy up some of his prints. I've seen some of his artwork hanging up in Evie Mays. His Touchdown Boys poster of Pat Mahomes and Cliff Kingsbury is like the Miami Vice style.
I think it was his very first poster.
Dude, and it was unbelievable.
Yeah, that was a pretty good way to start it out, a poster making career over at STP.
Yep. So he's got prints. I think you can get shirts. I know we all got shirts for the staff with some of his designs on it. Mine was the
Dia de los Muertos.
Yeah, the Day of the Dead skull with the matador with the matador hat.
Yeah.
on the skull.
Yeah, it's a really cool look.
Yeah, it's really great. Unfortunately, Triberland on a larger male, not super flattering. So I usually only wear it around the house where only Samantha and Grayson have to see me. So.
Have to see you.
Anyways, Michael, you got anything else before we close it out?
No, I think I'm good. Y'all go get you a mushroom burger.
Don't get a mushroom burger.
Get you a mushroom burger and wash it down with a Pepsi.
I may have to find like a new co-host, but like a Craigslist one ad or something.
I know the more we get into it, the more I realize some of my tastes are actually kind of weird.
Speaking of, did you see LeBar call me out in the chat and said like actually my food tastes were the ones that were bad, like his and yours were fine. I was like, no.
Labar's, he seems to be the one always defending
his place in our chat. We were talking about Whataburger. It was when we were talking about Brian's artwork with Chris Beard. And he said, trying to make the claim that Whataburger was not the number one regional fast food chain in Texas. It was actually Brahms. One, we ripped them because Brahms is an Oklahoma chain, not a Texas chain.
Yeah.
Two, Brahms is straight garbage.
Brahms is a wannabe Dairy Queen / 7-Eleven and couldn't decide which one to be and just tried to do both and came up short. Lubbock's getting two Brahms, though, so I don't know. I'm not super excited about that.
I mean,
I feel betrayed. There's a Sonic really next to the Brahms. Just go get a mushroom burger. Don't go to Brahms.
Gosh, stop with the mushroom burgers. It's gonna that new place is going to be really close to my house. I'm still not going to go to Brahms.
You should go there and take your Whataburger in there and eat it.
You know what I'm doing? Like, so it reminds me of that scene in Parks and Rec when Ron goes in that like World Market type of store. Grocery store, and he's offered vegan bacon, and he takes like, yes, I want to try it, and he just throws it straight away. Like,
yep.
He throws it away. That's what I'll do. I'll walk into Brahms, order something, like throw it away. It's like, that's where your food belongs.
I remember my friend Adam was, we were in college together in South Plains and Leveland, and we were so cheap and college students with no money that we would go to a Whataburger and get like two Whoppers for $2.22. We'd split it, and then we'd go to McDonald's and eat in McDonald's get the 42-cent Coke.
You just say you went to Whataburger and got Whoppers?
Oh gosh, no, I did say that. We went to Burger King. We went to Burger King and got cheap Whoppers, and then went to McDonald's and ate them. Sorry, my bad.
It's a bold move walking into McDonald's with Burger King.
Yeah, we did because they had the 42-cent Cokes. And so we'd eat for like less than $3.
Which you can do at Sonic with their junior double cheeseburger.
Or
that
little old mushroom burger deal.
All right, so we're coming up on an hour and a half. If you're still listening, actually, I want to hear from
congratulations.
You guys. Yeah, one, thanks for sticking with us. Two, what do you think is our, oh my gosh, I almost said desired length, and I'm like, that's what she said.
Ideal
length on podcast recording. How long are you guys willing to listen to us ramble on? I've heard anywhere like that 40 to 45 minute range. We're obviously double that. We could split this episode into two and
an epic two parter.
We could. Let us know what length you want to hear. Like, obviously an hour and a half is probably a little on the long side. If you listen to us on Podbean, or if you want to be able to speed it up a little bit, go into the Podbean, download that app. They have an adaptive speed, like an adaptive playback version where it'll skip out silences like that one just a second ago, and also play our speaking back a little bit faster, not like time and a half where you don't understand a thing we're saying, but speed it up just a little bit. You'll be able to get through, one, the silences and gaps a little bit better, and then get through the hour and a half podcast, maybe an hour.
Yeah, and it might make me even sound like a normal person, sped up a little bit as opposed to my West Texas self.
Okay, I have one more story to tell. You brought this up. When I was working for Rivals, and I was doing interviews with recruits. This was back when the Morales brothers, Tony and Alfredo, were recruits. So it's been 8 years ago, probably. You would not believe how fast Tony Morales spoke. Like, I recorded like the interview I did with him over the phone. I had to play it back at half speed where he sounded normal, like where I could actually understand him. So he would be speaking really fast like this, and I had no idea what he was saying, and I have to play it back really slow. What cracked me up the most was like he would answer at a normal sounding pace at half speed, and then you get to me. So what did you think about, you know, it was just like ridiculously slow. And then he sounded normal. So that dude spoke so, so fast. Anyways, if we're going way too long, one, let us know how long you think we should be going. Two, not that we're we're affiliated in any, we're not getting any kind of kickback from promoting the Podbean app, which is also our host. But they, like I said, have a adaptive playback speed where it'll skip through and play a little faster. I'm not sure about Google or the one on iTunes is more static. Like you can play it back faster, but it doesn't change or adapt. So Podbean app, find us, 23 Personnel Podcast. Obviously, if you aren't yet, you need to be subscribed to the podcast on iTunes, Google. If you follow us on Podbean, you'll get a feed every time we upload an episode. Follow us on Twitter at 23Personnel, at PuntsSuck, and at LSRR07 for all of our nonsense and shenanigans. For Michael, I'm Spencer. Thanks for coming back for another week.